Of course, we have to give Professor Chafers his To Ghana. That one,
Right.
yet I'm thinking of Augustin Hold and an archaeological one. We had
Yeah,
one.
Sear used to do them also, didn't he?
Yasir Henry did some South Africa ones for us. Mamadou Diouf. We have some people who left the university. Laurie Hill did South Africa. Theirs were different as well from Nisha's, and some were running concurrently with Nisha's. So,
Yeah.
and then we have, of course, Niambura did, Tanzania. And so I think, and do we count the study in Broads? Because I did a couple of in Broads to Detroit. We helped with New Orleans. We've had some that were within the country too. So I think it's more vast than.
Have to give it some
Yeah.
thought. Either it could be iterative and others who come after me continue adding to it, or it can just be a sort of database of stuff for now, and it's not yet made, public. Hey, Matthew,
Michelle,
we were
thank you.
just talking about ideas
Keep
for the
going.
study
Don't, I'm
abroad
sorry. I was late, so I'm so glad
project.
you're using the time.
Beth, thank you for reminding me. We also need to add Damani and Klossy to that list
Right.
of people who did study abroad. I've forgotten about those two. So,
Sounds like we should maybe as a separate thing is construct just literally a list, maybe a chronological list, or try to reconstruct it, because we probably won't, going backwards, so
Definitely.
we have
And then
that.
that's not even counting all the early ones, that I had found in the timeline from the 70s and 80s that preceded Barbara Robinson's, experiences. She came in at a certain time, but way back we were, that was pretty, I thought it was really impressive that I think it was 1978, around in there, we had some early study abroads.
So, this is a great segue to provide an update in that Nisha has had an opportunity to look at the material that we have digitized thus far, and she's put locating and time frames on it, on each one of those. So that should help
Cool.
as well.
That's great. Thank you.
So I'll see what I can do in this current environment to get some of the other products that we have digitized. Not sure just how rapid people would be able to respond, but I'll pull the string and we'll see what comes on the end of it.
And when I come into the office for commencement, Tara, I'll be sure to pull the syllabi from the years that I went with Mamadou and Lori.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And I know we have Yasir's too, because we were helping on the, from the back end. So we have all the ones that are not Nisha to South Africa.
Okay.
Because they were just as many. It seems like, it looks like Nisha was, the lead, and she was amazing. But we also had, like I
Right.
said, other ones going that were at the same time and were pretty powerful too.
Okay, got it. So maybe I'll make like a working list and then I'll ask for your inputs as I go along, Beth and Wayne.
Sounds
Okay.
great.
In other news, by way of an update, Ariel and Helen, please feel free to chime in if I don't get any of this right. We were able to, my computer's acting up here. We were able to participate with the research in a Zoom session, and we have submitted a request for, I think it was 25 terabytes of memory. And we are also right now engaged in a discussion talking about the architecture to access the data. We've looked at and are in talks also about, do we want to go with a 3-2-1 storage model or some variation thereof? 3, 2, 1 being the integrity of the backup. One question that we asked was, where are the backups? Are they these options? Are they stored in the same space? And for me, that was a critical question because there was in one of my previous lives where we had backups, but all the backups were in the same physical location as the primary. So the casualty took out everything. So that's one question that they didn't know the answer to, but they were going to look at it. Turbo storage, the architecture, they are trying to form some people around to help us carry it forward. One of the other things that I've done was created a community group for all of us here with the tag DAS Historical and Archival Group. So it should be active in the M Community Directory now, and we would be able to use that, or others would be able to use that group through the database. When they want to get to the database, they would need to ask for permission. And this, the group, the members of the group would be visible to everyone so they know who to go to ask for access. So they would just send it to the collective and we would get it, we would vet it. And I'm working through that lash up with Joe Bauer and John Teals. Did I miss anything, Ariel, Helen?
I don't think so. Those were kind of my big concerns too, was that things don't go away after we put this much effort into it. I think the one other thing, wasn't it called Deep Blue Storage in particular? Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a high level of deep storage. It takes a long time to access things, but they did let us know a lot of museums use that for items in their collection as really permanent storage. So you're not accessing it all the time, but there's always another copy in a really secure area. So it won't be as good for public facing, but that would be what Turbo would be for, is more of the public facing research component, and the back end would be for us to make sure these things never go away.
The other thing that's interrelated is right now we've been using Dropbox in order to be able to embed audio and video onto the website. We are going to continue using that because the university is moving over. And for everyone on this team, it's really important that you and any of your colleagues have created a U of M Dropbox account. If you go to the link that I just sent, you're able to log in through your single sign-on. And that's really important because as things are ported over, anything that you have shared through Mbox will be ported over to Dropbox, and the same sharing settings will be there as long as everyone on those files and documents have a Dropbox account prior to that transition. So for our team, especially as like the team changes and new people come in and people phase out, we'll have our Dropbox files there and we'll be able to remain there so that we can continue embedding them into the website. So if you haven't already, please, please, please make sure that you have created your Dropbox account through your U of M ID in order to allow for that transition and for us to be able to provide access to anyone who needs the back end website information.
So Ariel, just to clarify, is this the Dropbox in which like videos and pictures are located? Is it a DAS Dropbox or is it a personal Dropbox?
Currently it's a personal, but actually now that Wayne has mentioned that he created a community for us, I'm gonna create a, or if anyone else wants to do that, but I can create a group Dropbox for us.
That'd be great. Okay, great.
I'm asking also because Tahir and Danny and I are having problems working collaboratively on a Premiere project. And one of the problems seems to be that the location of the files has to be the same for all of us. Otherwise, it won't show up on each of our computers. So if all of the media we're using was located in the same DAS Dropbox, that meant that we and others who come after us too would be able to, you know, pick up on the raw sequences in Premiere and edit it and use it for other projects.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be converted in the way that sometimes files get converted in Google Drive.
Okay, great.
And then as people come in and if other people are pulled on to work on the website to embed audio video, they would be able to do it with the links coming through Dropbox. That's much easier than trying to pathway through Google Drive. After this meeting, I'll set up that Dropbox.
Okay.
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, so it sounds like things are proceeding. I didn't hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, a need for a specific decision at this moment. Is that right?
There isn't a need for a specific decision at this point because one of the things that we found out is that our memory requests can move up or down, shrink or expand as we need to, as much as we're willing to pay for. I will have a conversation with Joe about the pricing structure because the prices that he quoted seem to be double what I saw when I went to sign up for it. So I'm looking for that discount to help DAS's money go a little further.
Okay. So who else? I have a few updates, but let me see who else does. We've already had the conversation. Are we finished? And are we finished with the study abroad conversation we needed to have? Sounds like we are.
Pretty much, I think. Yeah, Matthew, I was just conveying to the others that I don't sort of have a definite product in mind for the end of this term for the study abroad work. I was telling them I had this idea about an interactive map, but Beth and Wayne were pointing out, and I think quite rightly, that I would only have the tip of the iceberg if I started putting information onto that map at the moment. And maybe that would get some people irritated if they noticed that their study abroad programs are not included on that. So I'm wary of doing that yet. But for now, I mean, I have a report that I'm working on as per your request. And
so actually, that's actually one of the issues that I wanted to bring up, which is I'm wondering if we need a new section to the website that would be that we could call a blog, that would be a place where, for example, there's this piece that Kelly Askew wrote for the African Studies Center that I've never managed to get. That could go there, but so could kind of works in progress, where it's an opportunity for grad students who've been working on a project to reflect on what they've achieved, what they've learned from it, and what they've, what insights they have, but to do it in a way that acknowledges it's a work in progress. And, it is in that sense, a public facing, a public scholarship publication, right? On an identifiable blog. So for grad students and undergraduates, frankly. So I was thinking that we could create that. I mean, I have a couple other things that I would point in that direction. So that's one of the things that I wanted to raise today as a possibility. It's a way in which, particularly when people have done important work that we really need to preserve, but it's not yet ready to be an exhibit or something like that, that it could be put in. So that's one of the things I wanted to propose today. And it just sounds like it would be perfect for the work you've done, Tara.
That would be great, yeah, because there are things emerging from the interviews that we've done so far that I would love to highlight.
Hyperlinks in the blog to specific oral histories or specific documents that we have preserved or other things. So, great. Well, if that's something that I'll come back to some other things I had to say. Other part of some reflections on other things that have been happening. Let me get. So I don't know if other people have updates they want to offer. Before I sort of go over a couple of things that I've have ready. So, Stephen,
I do have one.
Yeah, thanks. Go ahead, Stephen.
I don't know if Beth has already mentioned, but we changed the date for my class presentations from Wednesday to Thursday. So it's now a week from yesterday, Thursday, April 22nd. at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And Beth, I saw your message a little while ago. Sorry, I saw I get you the little blurb or description right after this, after the meeting.
Sure. Well, Helen's putting together the flyer for us. So okay. Oh, last night I came up with a very little blurb, but okay. It was a little
I'll one. Forward it to you, Stephen. I sent it okay. to you a second ago, Beth.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, so if you want to add to it at all, just let me know. I can.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much, Beth and Helen.
Yeah, of course.
Great. And then we'll send it out this afternoon so people will have it for the weekend. Because right, I've noticed right. the folks tend to plan their next week while they're looking on the weekend. So,
yeah, I know I've been slow with this. So I thank you for your thank you.
Okay, no worries.
Make a pitch for those of us who can attend to attend. There's lots of reasons, but the reasons I'll just mention are one to keep our eyes, our sense of, is there something, one of these projects that with additional work could go on the website? But also, even if it's not the project itself, but if the ideas in the project inspire something we should be doing on the website, that's the other reason. So having as many eyes and ears at that session, I think would be great as well. And I mean, the third reason, and we can talk, maybe we can debrief this too, is to think about the model for undergraduate classes to engage the website. And so for all three reasons, it would be great if as many of you who could attend at least part could do so.
May I follow that up with a few quick points of information about, so they asked me how long it should be and I said, it's up to us, up to you. And so they picked an hour. And I told them that this is a formal, like each of you makes a presentation, but rather it's 11 students. And I don't know if it'd be time for everyone to do something. Plus some are better than others. And I want those to have more space, frankly. So I encourage them to think about a piece of what they've done and share about that. And so I told them that it's not just about sharing what you did, but just as important is why you chose what you did and what you got out of it. So, and they're going to put together a collective Google slides. And so each of them will have some slides. So they're going to talk through. So it won't just be each student giving a presentation. So I hope will lend itself to what you just said, Matthew, in terms of identifying what type of things can go for the website or different ways of engaging students with the website.
Great. So we'll look forward to the flyer in the Times and I'll end the link. Go ahead, Beth.
Oh, the only other thing I can think of other than Stephen's class's presentation is next Monday we'll be interviewing Tara, Ashley and I will be interviewing Janae and Andre. So we've prepared a group of questions and I'll be sure to share those with everybody. I forgot to do that. There's a lot been going on. So I'll be sure to do that in case you all want to just take a peek and see if we've covered, the ground that you'd like us to with them. They're both really excited.
And remind me anyway, of their specific relationship to DAS and time periods.
They both are alumni. They both graduated in 2006.
Okay.
They both were, Janae's on our 50th anniversary board. Andre is, he was an employee as well as a student in the department. And they both had study abroad experiences with DAS.
Okay.
So it's kind of like they were at the same time speaker and vice speaker of Black Student Union. During this era when they were here on campus. So their connection with with the department as well as the campus community and some of the things they did in their extracurricular, I guess you wouldn't count study abroad as extracurricular, but some of their connections to the department outside of just the regular classes.
Great. So let me give you my updates. And the first is just simply say that we are, Wayne and I have started the conversation about summer. We'll obviously keep working in the summer, but in terms of being able to compensate people for their time, we're working on the aspects of that. And it's not an appropriate conversation, but we'll be in touch individually about specifics of that and how that will work. And so if I don't get to you and you can get to me, that'd be awesome too. So know that we're thinking about that. I did meet with both Ray Silverman and Comfort Mtotha this week about the various projects. And so I wanted to update you on those. And then my other thing to tell you, just because I want to reflect on it a little bit. I've been this week, on top of everything else, I'm on an external review committee at the University of Texas for their AFAM program, and had a very fascinating hour this morning with their curator of public programs for their art galleries that are affiliated with the AFAM department there. And so I had some thoughts from that I wanted to share too. And actually that's where the blog idea came from. just as we did a website because of the pandemic, they've created a blog, and that's, you could just see what it makes possible and the range of kinds of people thinks, you know, someone who's very involved can do a blog, but someone who's just not involved at all, but doing interesting work that you want to represent could also do a blog. And so that was the thing that I saw there. With Comfort, so she used and was clear that she was able to use the digitization of the materials quite effectively. And she really has developed a very thoughtful overview of all of the holdings that we have that are, you know, that have been digitized. You know, that meant there was a little bit of confusion, which we worked out about what aspects she was responding to and thinking through. And I was able to share with her a little bit more than I knew about the Bennett Collection. So we talked about that a fair amount. She is going to write up her observations and what she learned from going through those collections. There were a few of the items have, I guess, descriptions that she was able to access that were delivered, and that, you know, she's so clarity on the timeline that this is 1888 to 95 is the period in which the Reverend and Mrs. Bennett were in working out of missionary stations. But there's real, you know, their recordings of stuff make it very unclear, and, you know, whether we're talking about South Africa, whether we're talking about Botswana, which actual ethnic communities they're working in, those kinds of things are just, and probably you're probably not going to be, we're not going to be able to figure those things out. On the other hand, you know, pretty clear that given that we have really not exhibited this material, we've really just simply held it. Some of the ethical questions that we were first uncertain about seem less pressing. So she's going to provide us with that kind of listing of what she's come up with and her assessments of it. There is a book that she can see the cover of, but not inside, that may have additional information on the holdings. So at some point, I'm hoping her, but that we left that unresolved. When we can get access to the actual collection, and when she has time or when someone else has time, that book would be the first place to go to try to see if we can get some additional information. She is in the middle of prelims and then semester. And so she's not going to, we didn't agree on any next steps beyond her simply sharing with us this documentation she's done. She's going to clearly think about whether or not there's a project she'd be interested in. And if there is, she'll propose it. But at this point, that's where that stands. I'm hoping that if she chooses, you know, at a minimum, she'd be willing to do a blog that would just record that experience for us. But we'll see, you know, where that stands. I also had a long conversation with Ray Silverman. He's very enthusiastic about doing a kind of retrospective on the period in which he was involved in the gallery, and the catalogs and the exhibits they put on. In addition to whatever is in your possession, Beth, he said he has thousands of photos of not only the exhibits and the artists, but the installation process, things like that.
Those will be invaluable because I just have personal photos I took.
Right.
And he was taking all those photos. And Robin, sadly, when she left, you know, there wasn't any, there may be some in the S drive, but he was the keeper of all of that.
So Wayne says they are in the S drive as well. So,
okay, great.
He did say that, that he would be his preference. And I think Wayne and I've been talking about this, and we have an idea on how to do it, would be to be able to work with a graduate student in the summer to do this project for the website. And so I have yet to report back to him that I think that we can manage that. And I'll be going back to him to talk about that and about what ideas, if any, he has about who that might be, or whether this is something that we might, I just thought beyond that, I don't know. So I haven't reported back to him, but nor do I have a clear sense of the timing, whether we're talking summer or maybe later, based on.
So he's
a busy retired emeritus professor.
So it won't be the person that Kirsten is.
I am pretty clear. Well, from my perspective, that given the Museum Studies Project's willingness to engage a project that would be both longer in scope chronologically,
right,
and could include an actual installation in the gallery, that I would rather see these as separate projects.
Okay, that's all that I was just.
And I've shared that with Ray, and Ray is quite. Mm-hmm. I think Ray would be very cooperative mm-hmm. with the Museum Studies Project, and so there may be a, you know, I would expect there would be some aspect of his work that would be his period that would be represented in the Museum Studies Project. But to me, they're two separate things, right? One is a broader retrospective, and one it's even more of a documentation, right, of that mm-hmm. particular period.
More
of these catalogs that we can get. He's very excited about the idea, for example, of creating online versions of the books, of the catalogs. That would be completely comprehensive.
Excellent. Okay.
So since essentially Wayne and I have an idea of how we can provide the necessary resources for Ray's project, and the Museum Studies is prepared to fund their own project, there's no reason not to do both. So that's what I'm thinking. Now I should say, one of the things that was confusing in my conversation with Comfort is she's in the Museum Studies program, and she was approached as whether she wanted to apply to work with Kirsten on this other thing. And she needed some understanding what the difference between the two things were. And that was easy because they're completely different in my mind. So whether she's going to apply for that or not, she was uncertain. So obviously it'd be amazing if she took on that project, but at this point, that's not clear. So I will circle back to Kirsten too to see, you know, where that stands at this point. Although, you know, frankly, I mean, worst case scenario, if for some reason it's the timeline proves tight and they can't find someone to do it this summer, the project will be here next summer. So we'll just say to them, we want to do this when you're ready. So that's those are the updates there. I would just encourage everybody, and I say this in particular to you, Beth, but to everybody, to check out this. It's called the. I'll get the name and put it in the chat in a second, but it's the Art Galleries of the Black Studies Program or something at UT Austin. And they have actually two galleries One is quite large. One is probably sounds like it's more comparable to our DAS gallery, which they call the Idea Lab. And one of the things that was clear is they're doing is they have money to support students who want to curate. And so that was really impressive to me that they, so they essentially students can apply to them to curate an exhibit. And they have a heavy emphasis on local artists. And I mean, Austin's a bigger city and it's the state capital. There's differences, obviously, but there was just some impressive work that they were doing that was also, that wasn't just art exhibition, but with professional development, right? Career development for graduate students. And so I was very, very impressed with that. And so I'll dig up the link for that. But that's, I was just, you know, and again, it just made me think about how we have obviously this, not only between what we have, but what's at UMA, right? A lot, you know, that we should be thinking about what are the not just exhibition, but professional development opportunities that we might build from that. So I was very impressed.
That sounds amazing. I know that was something that was a part of the tension between our faculty and Ray's vision. I know Martha had wanted to hold an exhibit in the gallery and later with Taya and the one that we held about the history of Detroit using the Bentley's collection that Stephen had, Earl had found during his tenure when he was here. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just the potential is enormous. It's just figuring out how and how to do this, you know.
Well, and they have clearly resources, a level of resource. Is that, I mean, that is essentially what Ray was asking for and was denied, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. to have the resources to have a permanent staff person, and they're about to expand to a second one. They're actually, and they're gonna do it, I mean, this is, again, way beyond where we are now, but they've actually just gotten funding for a postdoc. So one of their graduates will have a 2-year postdoc as head of curation for their gallery. So that's a tremendous thing that they can do. So we're not there yet, but I just thought there were some interesting possibilities that we could look at. So, and I should say there are other parts of their program that they're way behind us on. So it was been an interesting mix of all those things. So, the other thing that I wanted to bring up, so a few things that came out of this. One is, Ray seemed to think that there is that somebody did an interview with that was recorded. I wasn't sure whether it was just oral or video with Professor Lockhart that we should have somewhere. Does anybody know anything about this?
Did not find that in the collection.
You mean in terms of, I know he's been recorded for the History Makers, you know, that the blog uh-huh. series.
Yeah. And maybe that's what he's referring to. He didn't say that, but that.
And one really interesting thing that came up this week when I met with Lisa Borgstroff and Ozzy about the multiplicity of exhibits that they're bringing up that's going to really connect DAS to UMA. Mm-hmm. They've got 4 exhibits all the way up through next year, including a Romero Bearden exhibit. I mean, it's just all of this blackness suddenly that's appearing over in UMA that's just blown my mind as a history of art student who had nothing in UMA to look at when I was here. You know, it's just like night and day, but they're going to have 3 exhibits in the fall that will be connecting to us, but they're actually going to be, Lisa's going to offer to have work with me, one of her work studies, who's going to help me work on documenting the work of Professor Lockhart. Because when I did that huge, Stephen, you probably remember when we had the tribute to Professor Lockhart, I did a slideshow of all of his murals across the state. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's, who is now a history professor who's going to be teaching a course on art in Detroit, is interested in the murals of Detroit. And so I told her about this wealth of material on Professor Lockhart, who's one of the artists that she's interested in looking at in the city. It was just crazy how all of this synergy is coming together around these things. But I'm going to have that young man, Jacob, work with me on documenting the ones that I found when we traveled the state. Wayne was gracious and permitted me to have the gentleman who Ray had used for his documentation of the gallery exhibits to go with me to all these places around Ann Arbor and Detroit and other places to take these photos. So we've got a really great repository of his murals in public places that we can build off of, since they're going to have one of his pieces in Laura DeBecker's exhibit that's going to be in the fall reopening. So we'll finally have one of Professor Lockhart's pieces in UMA, so which will was a big thing to him that, you know, he had always dreamed of having happen. So I think it's all coming together in an interesting way, but you saying that about Ray and the interview, I know that I have access to one of them. I don't know if that's the one he's referring to though.
You have access to one of, to an interview. Is it, so is it just an audio interview or?
Mm-mm, it's a video. It's, he was interviewed, Dr. Moody was interviewed. They were, it was a series called The History Makers.
Oh, so this is all The History Makers. Okay, by The History Makers. Because that's, we've also, we have access, that's where we've also gotten the footage of.
Sudha Kosa.
Yeah, Sudha Kosa.
Oh.
But we did get that.
We wanted to go to them to permission to use that material, and we just, because of the pandemic, they were not responsive. We need to try that. That's one of my, on my list for next month, so. Stephen?
May I ask like 5 follow-up questions? So go in reverse order. So for the Sudha Kosa History Makers videotape interview, you said we do have it, we just don't have permission to use it?
So we've been able, by purchasing a membership, we're able to I think download, Tara can remind me, Tahir's been.
We've had trouble downloading the footage. We have a sense of which clips we want, so we can view them and we can and all that.
Okay, so we've been able to access them online and then and identify them, but we haven't been able to. So that's the thing we're trying to figure out for the for the video.
May I and just logistically or rules for your perspective, may I look at those? May I have access to those? Not to use them for anything, but just to or like research wise. So are they in the drive?
Yeah, totally. Stephen, I can send you the login details that we have for our History Makers membership, and that way you can look at them.
Okay, that was,
and also see the transcripts.
Okay, thank you. I very much like
that. That's right. We also have the transcripts. That's also important.
That's great. Okay, transcripts they did of them. Gotcha. Okay, now for the other follow-ups quickly. Beth, I recall that the Bentley was in conversation with John's wife, right? Or there's some about his material. So I wanted to ask how that figures into this. Also, the Rebecca, is that Rebecca Modrat who's teaching the class?
Hold on, let me peek in my email right quick.
Okay.
I think it's Zuniger.
Oh. Or Zurier?
Zurier?
Zurier, yeah. So I know the name, but I don't know if I know her. But she's teaching a class on art or murals in Detroit, you said?
Yes, I'll forward it to you.
Okay,
because it was
that's
really-
probably Zurier, right? I mean, that's probably who that is. She's had a real interesting.
Now, she wants to meet with me because she didn't know that, I guess, that I knew what I knew. And so now she's trying to find out more about. Her name's Zurier, and it's called Made in Detroit. It's the history of the visual arts and architecture.
Yeah, she's taught that course for a while. I've actually spoken to it once. She's super enthusiastic about getting help.
Right. Well,
does she need help? Or you say she's enthusiastic? Help.
Right.
I wouldn't know.
To me, it sounds like there's a a real need for her to be in touch with those who were artists during that era. Sadly, we've lost Charles McGee, but you know, I mean, some of the things she's chronicling, the murals right after the rebellion, that were the murals that, you know, we have on all the hair and beauty supply shops, these, the what I call the grassroots murals of the city, she had little knowledge of, like the lowrider murals that come out every Cinco de Mayo. You know, it was just like, I started telling her places where she could find them, and that I had worked with Dennis Naraki when he did his first book, that was the first known book about art in public places in Detroit. But when I worked at the DIA, he had the desk next to mine. So it was like, she got really excited because she didn't know, you know, well, of course that's old school, but also he was the first person writing about art in Detroit public places. So I have that book. So I told her, you know, that's something she needs to get a hold of, because he was chronicling things that now are no longer with us. And
it's Okay. Well, yeah, keep me posted on that, please. And then, because that's this fall, right? She'll be teaching that. So I didn't know, after you said she'd been teaching for a while, I don't think I knew. I would like to know more about it.
She's teaching courses on Detroit and history of art for, I mean, I don't know how, whether she does it every year or not, but she's, she's done it before. Yeah.
Well, that's long, good.
Like a decade, I think, at least.
Okay.
What
and the last knowledge. And the last thing, Beth, is you said that Uma is going to have a Romare Bearden exhibit in the fall as well?
Yeah, I can quickly just tell you the three that they went over with me. Hold on, let me just grab my notes from this week. There's going to be, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get to that page where they were going over with me the different exhibits. There's one that Ozzy's done called Unsettling Histories that talks about like how the repatriation of the pieces, like they are doing with the British Museum and those types of issues. There's going to also be one that is dealing with the one where they're totally reopening the Curtis collection. They want to do an exhibit of the Curtis collection, which is going to come later once they get, you know, some sense of what they're up to with that. And then, there's a third one. Oh my goodness. You know what? I'll send them to you. I'll send you all the ones, because they want to be in closer contact with us, because they've got so many that are going to be coming up. And I was so pleased. Oh, here they are. The Curtis collection, the Diasporic collection is going to reopen in the fall. Unsettling Histories is opening in the fall. And then the Romare Bearden is going to open in February of 2022 and run through May.
Okay. Thank you.
Actually, that's a great segue. So one of the things that Ray encouraged me to move towards the top of our list would be an interview with Dr. Curtis. And I talked to Wayne about this, and Wayne wanted me to make sure to say it and to check with you, Beth, whether you thought, whether you were, you would share the view that he would be excited by that possibility.
I think so. He's so, and this is the time of year when he's back in Michigan.
Okay.
He lives in Mexico through March, and then he comes back to Michigan. Though I don't know, since it's snowed.
What's the best way to do it?
I'd have stayed there with the snow coming. But yep, so I think I totally agree. And I mean, the warm feelings he has, the last time I spoke to him, he was like, how's that young man? Because he was still talking about you, Stephen, when you had done the tribute to him at graduation. He was like, how was that fine young man who was speaking about me? It's like,
the oldest young Black professor.
Yeah, not, so he's not so young. He's all
right. Don't get that too much anymore.
Well, compared to what? He's going to be 97?
But he is so young acting. I was so surprised at how quick that man can walk. He was beating our work studies everywhere.
He beat him everywhere. And yeah, because he just had a, he's going to have a birthday April 24th. So, and Ray too. I got to remember Ray.
I think I have pictures of the kids from the choir. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday. So
let's put him at the top of the list for the summer along with Ross and Chafers. So obviously not, I mean, I'm not able to think about anything right now until we get through the semester, but in May, let's work on getting those at the top of our list.
Wow, that, and they'll all be three alumni of U of M.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right, well, that's, I think, all the things I had then. And actually, again, I don't know if it doesn't need to be quite the top of the list, but Beth, I did go to the session from the Mishogama organizers, which was very interesting. But I thought, that there were, that the African-American alums who were in the conversation, I would love to, us to be able to interview them. I thought they were very good and very interesting. And so,
And they're DASies. They were DAS majors.
Right,
Malika and Sabrina, for sure.
And I thought, I thought the session was interesting. It wouldn't be a substitute for interviews with them. We would want to ask different questions and have different. We should definitely keep them on the list as well.
Yeah, when we decompressed afterwards, I was kind of surprised at how some of our younger panelists kind of took over and started speaking about what they were doing when I thought the intent was to talk about the tower takeover. So it was a little weird there for a while, but afterwards when we decompressed, the conversation was so rich and so meaningful that I felt kind of badly that everybody gone. it was like, wow, now it's really good. So it's, yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
All right. Well, anything else folks need to bring up or want to bring up?
No, but I did put the Flint murals if anyone goes.
Thank you.
Wondrous. I love them. So if you get a chance and you're in the area, definitely worth seeing.
Can Beth and Wayne, can you both hang on a second? And I'm going to let everybody else go. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Good. Happy last
everyone,
week.
Everyone, take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I hope that the recording is saved in my cloud because I didn't realize that I would no longer have recording access when I made Wayne co-host. I hope that the recording is saved. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye, Ariel.
Bye, Ariel.
Ariel, I can't seem to stop it either.
Uh-oh, I think she's gone. And now you've lost your head.
No, she's back.
Oh, now she's back.
Yeah, I would be good to stop the recording before I ask the question I want to ask. So,
sorry about that. Did you still need me, Wayne?
Yeah. Would you please stop the recording?